Well, it's good to be back with you today.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, I got someone in there. Amen. Thank you, John. Amen. So good to have John back there. You know he's here. Amen. No, it's good to be with you all again today. If you have your Bibles, you can go and turn with me. Go ahead and jump into Galatians. That's where we're going to spend just a few minutes in the next few moments, and then we're going to set up where we're going. But I had the privilege last week of stepping in and filling in for a church planner up in Asheville, North Carolina, which is quite a bit of a drive for us, but it was very, very, very much a blessing to allow him to take a weekend to replenish after just launching his church about 6-7 months ago. And to be with them and to see the excitement and what God was doing, it reminded me of the days when we planted, and I never want to lose that. I never want to lose that joy. I don't want us to settle and become just church as usual. So we're going to fight to keep that spirit here at Island Church. So I'm glad to see everyone here this morning. We are on week 10 of our It's Your Move series. It seems like last week I had a really hard text. This week I got another hard one. Last week I had to preach in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and if anyone's familiar with that, woo! Anyway, but God was with us, and today we're going to be talking about something I think that's very, very important for us as followers of Jesus Christ, and that is using your words to build up, not to tear down. Basically, watch your mouth, as you can see on the screen here behind me. And this is a topic that, let's just be honest, it has really deep implications for us as followers of Jesus Christ and as Christians. Because if we claim to be Christian, then we're claiming that we are little Christ, that we are like Christ. We are claiming that we've surrendered our lives to be conformed into his image. And it just can't be lip service. It has to be something that is actually seen in our lives. It means that we are willing to empty ourselves of basically our will, our wants, our desires, our being, our everything. It means that we have chosen that for God to move in our lives through the power of His Holy Spirit to impute His righteousness into us so that we are no longer unrighteous. Simply from the moment of justification, that moment that you chose to say, Lord, I need you, I repent of my sin, I turn to you, from that moment, we now live, we act, and we speak like Christ. Our entire being is to be consumed by Christ. When you see those of us that claim Christ, it's got to be more than lip service. It means that when you see us, you see Christ. Now, on the flip side, there is a description in Galatians that we should be very wary of. If you have your Bible, start with me at verse 19 of chapter 5. Verse 19 of chapter 5. Depending on what version you have, I'm going to read from my Bible. It might be different from what you have on the screen, but I'm going to read from what my Bible has because I have great notes in mine. I just highlight all throughout my Bible. And it says, the acts of the flesh or the sinful nature, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Wow, we know all of those are bad, right? We do. But then we get to this next section. Look at what it says here. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. So I just gave you a breakdown of some traits, good and bad. And on the flip side, that first part was a descriptor of what we should be wary of. And there were six of the 15 of the sinful nature of the flesh, the works of the flesh that I want to point out to you that I think stand out very importantly to us. Number one is enmity. When we look at enmity, what that basically means is this feelings of hatred. It means that you have ill will, you have intense hostility towards a person or towards a group of people. There's strife. There's heated anger or a bitter conflict. There's disagreement. There's a struggle between you and another person or another group. There's jealousy. And jealousy comes out in many ways. It's a painful emotion, I think, that all of us have experienced at some point that comes to the surface when we feel like there's a perceived threat to maybe a valued relationship that we have or someone's trying to take something that we possess. We get all kind of wired about that, don't we? And there's fits of anger. And but that's a sudden, intense emotional outburst that's characterized by a momentary loss of self-control. One of the opposite, that's one of the fruits of spirit right there. And then there's dissension. That's sharp division. It's discord. It's violent disagreement that fractures unity within a community. And then finally, there's divisions. And that's the act of separating a whole into parts. It is the state of being separated. Those are just six of the descriptors of the works of the flesh, the sinful nature that we see in Galatians. And then there are the nine that are the fruit of the Spirit. And those are the traits that help us to watch our mouth. Those are the traits that help us to build up and not to tear down, because that's who God is. When we see the fruit of the Spirit, that is who God is. And if Jesus is in us, if we claim to be Christ, then guess what? That should also be in, everybody point to yourself, us. If the Holy Spirit of God resides inside of each and every one of us, those of us that claim Christ, who have been born again, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to be the eventual outcome in our lives. That's it. And the only reason that the fruit of the Spirit would not be able to do its work in our lives is if you and me are resistant to the work of the Spirit in our lives. And we can do that, can't we? We can resist. We can push it away. We can squinch it down if we want to. And we have to be careful, because if we don't allow the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives, then within the church there can exist feelings of hatred, there can exist feelings of strife, there can exist feelings of jealousy, there can be fits of rage, and let's just be honest, once or twice that might actually come from me, right? It comes from all of us. And there's definitely dissension in the church. We have to fight against that. It comes up everywhere. That's when someone might start talking about another person, or there might be gossip that's going on in the church, and it leads to division. And I got news for you. If you have dissension, it will breed division. That's just how it works. Now, did I hear an amen? Okay, I heard. Okay, just make sure. All right, good. We got somebody back there listening. Now, you're probably asking yourself, this is great, Pastor, but what does this have to do with using your words to build up and not to tear down? And I would say, everything. Amen. You see, before we can get to the topic of words, before we can get to the topic of watching your mouth, we must first identify why our words might tear down, why we need to watch our mouth. And you know what it is? It's your heart. It's your heart. So before you can watch your mouth, you need to watch your heart. God's word describes the heart as the absolute control center of human thought, desire, and your motives. And what that simply means is that hurtful and destructive words just don't slip out. They're revealing what's already on the inside. It's just what's already on the inside coming out. In the Bible, the heart, often translated from Hebrew as lev, and often translated from Greek as cardia, okay? What that means is it refers to the absolute core of a person's inner life. So your heart is the absolute core of your inner life. So what is in your heart? It's far more than this organ of emotion. It's the control center of human existence.
It's the seat of thoughts, desires, will, intellect, even your moral choice. It comes out of the heart, which is basically, if you're military, the mission control center of your life. That's what it is. And so I ask, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? You see, your heart, if you didn't know this, is the true core or the true character of who you are. It's your heart. I often joke when we see Facebook and you see all the spewing that goes on Facebook, it should really be called Heartbook. Because it's revealing what's in the heart. It's revealing what's in the heart. Our human nature naturally drives us to always judge outwardly, what we see outwardly, outward appearances. But God and His Word, they emphasize that God is always looking directly inside of us. He's looking at your heart. And Scripture clearly writes that our natural condition, our heart condition, is corrupted by sin. It's corrupted by sin. It's described in the Bible as deceitful. It's described as desperately wicked. Therefore, without renewal that can only come from God, our heart is fallen, our heart is deceit. It's deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick or wicked. Who can understand it?" Who can understand it? So our hearts are either going to be hardened or they're going to be soft. A hard heart is usually filled with stubbornness. I can be guilty of that, I'm going to be honest with you. It can be filled with pride. A hard heart usually has disbelief towards God. Because it's described, when you talk about hardened hearts, as an unwillingness to submit to the will of God. And on the flip side, when you see a soft heart, and I hope we all have this and we're working towards it, it means that we're receptive, it means that we're pliable, it means that we're obedient, it means that we're humble. And why is this important? Because Jesus explicitly taught that destructive behaviors, that foul speech, bad words, they come directly from what's inside. He said this in Matthew 15:18, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these defile a person." In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus went on to say this. He said, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So what is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Let's stop and pray before we go too far. God, I ask you right now, Lord, that you would just use this word to speak into all of us, Lord God. If we do look at social media, Lord, if we look at the world around us, it would be easy to act like everyone else and not like Christ. And I pray, Lord, that today, through this word, through this teaching, Lord God, that you would make yourself known in such a way that, Lord, we would desire to be more like you and less like the world. That we would choose, Lord, to look inwardly at our own heart and see what's in there so that, Lord, we could say, Lord, go in and clean it out so that, Lord, you can have your way in my life. So that the things that come out of my heart and out of my mouth, Lord God, are edifying. And not only that, to the people around me, but they're glorifying to you. I pray this morning, Lord God, that as we dive into your word, that you alone would do the work. Let me get out of the way. Let me simply be a mouthpiece for you this morning, Lord God. Let us not get revelation from me, but Lord, let it be directly from you and your word. And I ask you to speak as only you can speak in our lives, in Jesus' name. And all agreed and said, amen and amen. So what Jesus does is he explains that the tongue really simply acts as a faucet for what's inside of you. That kind of hurts, doesn't it, when you hear that? It's a faucet for what's going on inside of you. It just comes out. If you find yourself very frequently using words that hurt, that tear down, that might be an indicator that your heart is full of anger. Your heart might be full of pride. Your heart might be full of bitterness, and it's something that you need to look at. I remember years ago, had a marketing company with a friend. I was bivocational, I remember things went belly up real quick, and I found out that my friend was doing some things he shouldn't have been doing. And I ended up just pulling out of it. My heart was bitter. It hurt me deeply because it was my friend, but more importantly, it hurt me because he put me in a very difficult financial situation. I think many of you can relate with something like that. I was so mad. I was so mad, and for weeks, I just thought I had to get away from him because I thought if I saw him, there's no telling what I would do. I thought that maybe if I saw him, I would probably go crazy and maybe go physical on him. And so I stayed away from him. My heart just got darker and darker. The bitter root had taken hold. And I remember several weeks into it, I was sitting there just agonizing with this anger and was so upset. And I just thought to myself, man, oh. And then I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, who's the one who's really struggling through this? Is he hurting right now or is it you? What's happening in your life right now because you're taking a dark turn? Man, I was so convicted. I thought to myself, wow, I'm letting unforgiveness take such a deep hold in my life that I've become so bitter that I want to hurt this person. I immediately confessed to the Lord and repented of my sin, and I picked up the phone and I called him and I apologized. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, this weight came off of me. And I thought, man, all that bitterness, those weeks of anguish and heartache were so unnecessary because I was holding on to something that was not destroying him, it was destroying me. And my words were tearing down. We got to check our hearts. Other ways that we can hurt and tear others down is by using manipulation. Our words can do that, can't they? Using words to manipulate. Man, that's a reoccurring theme that we see in the scriptures. It usually frames it this way. It's a behavior that's deceitful, which, again, is a heart condition, right? And scriptures warn us as followers of Jesus Christ that we should reject falsehood in favor of truth and integrity. And that concept appears in several forms throughout the Word of God. The first way that we see it is when we twist God's Word. We twist God's Word. You know, the first time that we see this happen in the Word of God is in the Garden of Eden. When we saw Satan in the form of a serpent twist God's words, and what he did by doing that was get Eve to begin to question God and disobey God, to doubt God. So we have to be careful. We don't use God's word to twist it so that we manipulate people. The second way is a God shield, or I call this the ace in the sleeve. It's the twisting of Scripture, taking out of context so that we can justify silencing someone or shutting down questions. And the Bible, man, it really, really strictly warns against mishandling truth, God's truth, or weaponizing his word for personal gain. And there's emotional coercion. We have to watch for this one. Man, we're good with that, aren't we? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. It is wicked, right? So we have to be careful with emotional coercion. A good example of that is found in the Bible with Delilah. How many of you know who Delilah is? And Samson, remember that? Remember how she just hounded him? She vexed him with words over and over and over again until he finally caved and told her the secret of his strength. And guess what happened? It cost him his life ultimately, didn't it? And then there's also deceitful leadership. Let me just say this, sidebar. I am so grateful that here at Island Church, there's a group of men who are accountable to each other, so there's not just this one guy making the decision. You know, I've never tried to run this church in a way that I would be a tyrant, but the wonderful thing is I've got four guys who can look at me and go, you're being the tyrant, if I have to, you know what I mean? Or we can say it to each other, you know, and that's the beauty of the plurality of leadership, and we try to avoid this type of leadership in the church that's deceitful leadership. Examples of that are in the Bible. You look at Jezebel, and you even look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those are great examples of deceitful leadership. Jezebel, for example, she manipulated events. She even used false accusations against Naboth to basically steal his property from him, to take advantage of him. The religious leaders, those Sadducees and Pharisees, you see them manipulate people by using spiritual language in such a way that they would control people. We don't want to do that. So is there a fix? Yeah, there is. There's a fix to all of this. You see, because the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah 17:9, we just saw it a few minutes ago, because it can cause us to speak in ways that destroy and tear down rather than build up. The Bible emphasizes this, and you heard this in our scripture-led time, guarding and renewing your heart. Instead of corrupt language, instead of corrupt communication, we as Christ followers are instructed to speak words that build up, words that give grace to those who listen. If you've been following along in the devotional book, What Does a Disciple Do?, the one that we're working through, and this is what this series is built on, you'll see that in this specific section, the memory verse is Ephesians 4, verse 29. So I'm giving you a heads up. If you didn't know that, you can go and make that, commit that to memory. But here it is. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, to the listener. Well, that's great. How do we do that? Well, if your life is filled with something that's unrepented or unrepentance, or maybe you have an unfeeling heart. Has anybody ever just got up one day and you were just dull? You ever felt that way? It's like someone said something to you and you're like, eh, whatever. Yeah, Joylyn, right, exactly. Right? Has anybody ever been there before? And you have an unfeeling heart? We got to check our hearts. Maybe you have a hard heart. Has anybody had a hard heart before? I have, right? We don't want to do that. Those things are evidence that something is wrong in our hearts, and it causes us to use words that hurt and tear down, destroy rather than edify. And the remedy is really simple. It's really simple. You know what it is? You need a new heart. You need a new heart. I'm glad the kids aren't in here. You need a new heart. We talked about this the other day. In Ezekiel 36:26, God promises a spiritual rebirth, a new heart. This is what he says. He says, "And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." I got news for you. It is only God who can remove a hardened heart of stone. It is only God who can take that hard heart of stone and make it tender. He can make it tender. He can make it responsive. He can turn it into a heart of flesh. This change, by the way, can only come from God. You can try all you want to. You're not going to do it. It can only come from God. It happens from the inside out. It's a gift from God through the power of His Holy Spirit. And all we got to do is ask. All we got to do is ask. Do you want your words to reflect Jesus Christ? I know I do. I don't get it right all the time. I can tell you that right now. But I want my words to reflect Christ every moment of every day. And if those words that come out of our mouths are words that tear down rather than words that edify or build up, then we need to look no further than the heart. You need to look at your heart. If you want your words to reflect those of Jesus Christ, if you want to sound like Jesus, you want to look like Jesus, then your mouth needs to look like Jesus's. And you know how that happens? Your heart has to look like Jesus's. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. We need a new heart. And only God can do that. It starts with your heart. There's a danger, though. A real danger. You can be sitting right there, listening to this message, getting upset with the messenger. I get it. Guys, I'll be honest with you. As I was going through this and preparing for this, I got to be honest with you. I had a hard time with it because it was convicting to me, too. But then I realized, Lord, I need you. I want to be more like you. I want to be less like me. Because if you know anything about me, I'm sarcastic. You know? Yeah, exactly. Say what? Yeah. I'm sarcastic, you know? Yeah, I can be a little funny, but I'm really sarcastic to the point where sometimes my wife doesn't think I'm being sarcastic. She's like, what'd you say? I'm like, I'm just kidding, babe. It's sarcasm, you know? You got to be careful. End up on the couch. And I don't always want to be that way. I want to be more like Christ, gentle in spirit. My words match his conduct and who he is. And we have to be careful because we might hear this and we might go, well, how dare he talk to me this way? We become indignant. We become self-righteous. And I got news of you. If we do that, hear my heart. The evidence is clear that your heart is deceiving you. The evidence is clear that your heart is deceiving you, just like it deceived me with my friend. And so there are steps that we can take right now, by faith, to renew our heart, to have a new heart. So that rather than speaking words that reflect the works of the flesh or the sinful nature, we would instead begin to surrender to God, give him our lives, allow the Holy Spirit to shape our hearts, and then the words of our mouth. Here's how. Number one, be honest. Own your words. We live in a day and age where it's everybody else's fault, isn't it? You've offended me, blah, 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 you know. I mean, I don't know how this generation gets around because everything's offensive to them. You know what I mean? But you need to be honest and you need to own your own words. I said it earlier, but the scripture reveals to us that the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. So stop blaming other people for what comes out of your mouth. Stop blaming other people. Stop making excuses. Well, you know what they did to me, and so that's why I said what I said. We do that all we do that all the time, don't we? That's not Christ. What did he do? Someone spoke to him ill, slapped him in the face, he gave him the other cheek, right? Not only, I don't want to do that, but do we want to be like the world or do we want to be like Christ? This week, I'm just sidebar, I was so disgusted. You probably watched it in the news where the pastor beat that other guy up this week. If anyone didn't see it, you don't have to go waste your time looking at it. Obviously, the man was making threats against his family. I get it, all right? But he crossed the street, took him down, and then repeatedly pounded the guy. I counted over 20 times after the guy could not fight back. And I thought to myself, how is that Christ-like? And then I'm watching Facebook, I'm watching social media, I'm watching things on the news, and what it said, everyone's Christians are like, man, that's cool. You know, he took it to him. He even got up in the pulpit and he said, well, the Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick. That is twisting the word of God right there. That's twisting the word of God right there. My point is, if you engage in that conversation, if you engage and you agree with that, that is unchristlike. That is unchristlike. Unchristlike. And we can't blame others for what we do or what we say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, we act. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So that means the second thing that we've got to do, after we're honest and we own our words, we've got to repent. We've got to repent. We have to surrender to God. We have to really believe into Jesus. Not just say it. Believe into Jesus. We've got to acknowledge our inability to change our own heart. We've got to accept Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. You hear me say it all the time, but you know, man, we love Jesus being on the cross because it means he's forgiving us of our sins. And I would just say to you, it's time to let him come off the cross so that he can be the Lord of your life and you follow him. Stop sinning, let him come off the cross, and follow him. It really starts when you begin to place your trust in Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's that easy, but that's just the initial surrender. That's just the initial surrender. As you repent, you've got to honestly recognize all of your sin, past and present, and turn from it. Walk away, close the door. Can't help but think of James chapter 4. It says, submit yourself then unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee. We have a tendency to resist the devil, but we leave the door open just enough that he could stick his hand in and grab us. Shut the door. Repent. Turn away from it. Turn away from selfishness, behaviors that have created barriers and distance between you and God. Listen, you're never standing still with God. You're either getting closer or you're getting further away. That's just the truth. How do I know that? Because read the scriptures. Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I'm God. Wait for him. How about Exodus chapter 14, verse 13? It says, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. So we got to take steps. We got to own it. We got to admit it. And then we got to repent of it, surrender to God, and believe fully into Jesus that he can do the work, that he can give us a new heart, and he will. Number three, we got to pray. And we got to pray daily and often. And what I mean by that is, you know, we might get up in the morning and say our prayer, and then that's it for the day. Man, seek God throughout the day. Throughout the day. You know, I'm thinking of yesterday, I got up, I went through my notes, I worshiped for a little while, I cried a lot, I spent some time with God, I went out and did some work, worked in the yard, did some things, was under the car, changed oil, I was praising God, even when I hit my head, you know? I mean, you've got to praise God, you've got to seek him out throughout the day. You must ask God for transformation, and daily, because I got news for you, there's still the old man in the bones that we have to fight every day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He still is fighting to come out. So we've got to pray daily that God would do the work. I love what the psalmist wrote. And we also should pray this prayer. He said in Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen? Only God can make a hardened heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So seek God out in prayer daily and often. And ask for transformation that can only come by his Holy Spirit. And then say this prayer in Psalm 141:3. It says, Al stole it from me this morning. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. I remember years ago, we had a young man in our youth group. Man, it's hard to believe. It's been like 25 years ago. I'm getting old. And I won't say his name in case he's watching. But I remember we went on it. We actually came to Emerald Isle for a discipleship week retreat, and we were in the beach house, and I was leading the young men in a Bible study while one of our female leaders was leading the ladies upstairs. And I remember we had this young man, blah, 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 blah. He just talk. I mean, and I just wanted to take my Bible and go, shut up! You know, I just really wanted to do it, but I didn't. You know, I had self-control. But he just kept talking. But finally, another youth looked at him and goes, I'm going to use his name. Bill, I'll use another name. He goes, will you shut up? You're just talking to be heard. And I just thought, I just broke out laughing. Everybody did too. And I thought, okay. And sometimes we do that. He needed this prayer. Set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Because sometimes we just talk to be heard. And sometimes we just need to be silent and listen. So ask God to set a guard over your mouth, to keep watch over the door of your lips before you have a chance to speak. The fourth thing that you need to do is daily renewal. This is a big one because I said it a few moments ago that there's the old man in the bones. I know that in my own life. I have to fight them off every day. Every day, spiritually, I have to wake up, and you probably do too, and you look in the closet and you go, huh, robe of righteousness, the old sinful nature, which one am I going to wear today? You know, we have to make a choice to renew ourselves daily and make certain that we're seeking God's Holy Spirit and we're putting on the robe of righteousness. Because it's easy to fall back into old habits, isn't it? It's easy to not pray. It's easy not to read your word. It's easy to find ways to just make excuses. And again, we got to own it. So daily renewal is so important. Daily renewal. Engage in practices that are going to nourish your spiritual growth. Spend time with the one who can change your heart from the inside out through this daily and continual prayer. Seek him through his word. And join with other saints in godly fellowship and Bible study and time together. I got news for you, man. The best times I have are with other saints, man. Just hanging out. You know why? Because we remember what we did the day before. Nobody caught that, did they? We're not looking over our shoulders because we're getting in trouble. We're just having a good time. And that's what sometimes what worship looks like too. So surround yourself with people and with things that are going to edify. Remove the negativity from your life. Really. I was listening to some worship songs yesterday and one came on and the verse said, fear and anxiety leave when we praise you. Amen, that's true. So all the cares, all the worries, all the things that we have that we just carry around with ourselves and it's like a weight. We just need to stop and go, Lord, I praise you for what you did, for who you are, for Jesus, for the cross. Man, it changes everything when we change our perspective. Remove the negativity from your life and instead replace it with prayer and praise and seeking God out. And listen, if you associate with people who tear down, don't. It's really that simple. If you come up on someone and there's gossip or there's talking, walk away. Don't be part of it. Disengage from that stuff. You know, watching your mouth starts with watching your heart. It also starts with watching who you associate with. Uh-oh. Some of you are like, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. Listen to what it says. It says, beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or a tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the little g gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. Beware. The fifth thing that we've got to do is probably the hardest for all of us. And that is that we need to practice giving more grace and we need to practice forgiveness. You want to see your words change? You want to see your words begin to edify and build people up? Then practice giving grace. Practice giving forgiveness. I got news for you. In case you didn't know, this is what God does for us every day. This is what God does for us. This is what God did in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you know what else? We didn't deserve it. And I got news for you. That person who hurt you and you want to give them, tear them down, they don't deserve your forgiveness, but God gave it to you, so you might as well give it to them too. Practice grace. Practice forgiveness. Get over yourself. That's just the truth. Hebrews 12, 15. It says, see to it. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. that no bitter root springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So that means, listen, every opportunity you have, as it depends on you, give grace. Give grace. Let no one go without getting the grace of God, because you got it. You might as well give it. And see people's lives change. See your own change. See your heart change. Listen, if we don't practice grace and forgiveness, the result is going to be bitterness. And I got news for you. Bitterness, when it takes hold, it spreads and it multiplies. And I got news for you. That is not Christ-like. It's not Christ-like. And if left to grow and fester in this fertile soil of bitterness, that root is going to take hold, and it's going to poison people's thoughts. It's going to poison your own thoughts. It's ultimately going to spread to other people, because that's what we do. And it causes division, and ultimately it causes trouble. So see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Team, come on up. So you've got to own your words. You've got to repent. You've got to surrender. You've got to believe fully into Jesus by faith. You got to pray, and pray daily and often. Prayer's the work. Let me say that again. Prayer is the work. So often we try and 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 we fall and we fall and we fall and we get tired and upset and we're like, why am I trying? Because we're not praying, we're trying. I got news for you. I said it earlier. Only God can do the work through His Holy Spirit imputing His righteousness into you. So try all you want to, but there's no good in us. There's no good in me. If I'm left to myself, I'm going to be a sarcastic jerk. That's the bottom line. I'm being honest with you. Charlie knows. There's no point in trying. There's point in surrender. There's point in prayer, because prayer is the work. It is the work. Seeking God out. I'm throwing a curveball here. It's not up here, but great verse, my favorite verse in all of the Bible, Hebrews 11:6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He is, and that He rewards that He exists. And when we come to Him, that He exists. And here's the last part. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek after Him. I love that. So I have faith, but the most important thing that God wants from me is that I seek after Him. And then I see the results of that, because He changes my life. The reward is not that I get all this stuff raining from heaven, you know, gold and money and stuff. It means that He's changing my life on the inside out, so that I reflect Him and I am more full of Jesus. Seek Him. He rewards you. How does He reward you? Psalm 37:4, another one. I'm throwing it out of the blue here. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What desires? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. You'll find out. How about that? Because it'll change everything. I promise you that. Then seek daily renewal. Every day, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. Romans 12:2, it says it best. Paul the Apostle, he says, therefore, I implore you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a what? As a what? Say it like you mean it. Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you renew your mind, you renew your heart. And then you'll be able to test, and you will agree that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. It don't get better than that, does it? Right? We settle for good. Let's go for God's perfect. How about that? And 5, practice giving more grace and giving forgiveness. Here's the issue, though. This process that I've just laid out for you, that's on the screen, it requires your willing participation. It requires your willing participation. But you have to remember this: the ultimate heart transplant is a gracious and sovereign work of God and God alone. And listen, this morning, if this message has convicted you like it has me of your words, then you need to check your heart. Because that's where it starts. You need to check your heart. I'm going to pray with you, and in a few moments, the band is going to lead us in worship. And if you feel so compelled, you are welcome to come up here and pray, or wherever you are. We have our prayer team and our pastoral elders who will join you where you are if you'd like to do that. If you feel led, that man, I want my heart to reflect Jesus. I want my speech to reflect Jesus. Something's got to happen here. We want to pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray this morning, like the song says, I give you my heart. And not just on Sunday, not just in small group, not just when I'm with other Christians, but every moment of every day, Lord. May that be what we're praying right now, that it's not just a temporary thing or when it's convenient, but it's all the time. So that our words, our speech, our lives, our action, our everything is a reflection of Jesus who lives inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Just convict us right now, because we live in a world that says the complete opposite. It's contrary to your word, and we've got to fight against that all the time. But I'm praying right now that, Lord, you would speak life into each and every one of us, and that we would repent of our words that tear down. Surrender. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And I believe that you can do the work because you said you would. Do it in my life so that everything that exudes out of my heart is a reflection of who you are in my life. Help us, Lord, to own it, repent, surrender, believe. Help us to make certain that every day we make that choice through renewal. Lord, I pray that we do the hardest thing, which is to practice grace and forgiveness more and more and more and more. Help us, Lord, as only you can. Help us, Lord, because only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.